PPI.org.
Good evening. Thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. If you want to be part of our email list, you may email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. Disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com for comments or anything else. All right. Tonight, we have Raz Mobility on the schedule. Raz Mobility CEO Robert Felgar is in with us, and he's going to be talking about accessibility of Lucia mobile phone and Raz Mobility. Good evening, Robert.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Oh, I gotta hear you better. All right. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you very well.
Oh, there we go. All right. So, Lucia, that's how you pronounce the phone?
Exactly.
Excellent. Can you tell me who is Raz Mobility?
Well, Raz Mobility is a company that I formed about 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it provides assistive technology solutions across the country. We primarily sell actually to government agencies, including the state of Minnesota, and also at the federal level to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Excellent.
And of course, we also started recently to sell directly to consumers. And in particular, we're selling Lucia directly to consumers.
Excellent. All right. So give me some history on you. Like, how did you decide to do something like this?
Well, I didn't start out in accessibility. I actually started out as a lawyer. And I was practicing law for almost 20 years.
Excellent. Okay.
And I became a general counsel in a small telecommunications company. And while I was there, I started a service for people who are blind.
Uh-huh.
And the service was called Odin Mobile, and it was the first wireless service that was exclusively focused on serving people with disabilities.
You know, I have this
and
memory.
That's how I got into it, and eventually I decided I wanted to go out on my own and start my own business.
Yeah. I have this memory of us interviewing Odin Mobile.
That might have been me.
It might have been. A while ago.
Yeah.
So what does Lucia look like?
So it's actually a fairly large phone. It's designed to be large on purpose because the buttons are fairly large.
Okay.
For people with dexterity issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I would call it really a big button mobile phone. It's probably about 5 inches long and about 3 inches across and maybe half an inch or less in width. The bottom two-thirds of the phone has buttons, of course, 1 to 9. They're well spaced. They're concave buttons. And then right on top of that keypad are what I would call the command buttons. And there are 5 command buttons, a call button to initiate phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the left. And in the middle is what I would call an OK button. And on top of that is an up arrow. And below it is a down arrow. And to the right of that is the end button to end phone calls. And then on top of those buttons is the display itself, which is quite large and has large fonts and color contrast, etc., to accommodate people with low vision.
Keeping it pretty simple there. Presumably you have a 0 pound and star too.
Exactly, exactly.
So it's not a flip phone, no? It's just a regular
size? No, it's not a flip phone.
Okay. What do you find that people need this large of buttons to use the phone? As far as...
Because well, the phone is...
Go ahead.
It's designed primarily for seniors, in particular for people with vision loss or who are hard of hearing. So for people who have vision loss or dexterity issues, the larger buttons are very important.
How'd you come up with the name Lucia?
The name?
Yeah.
Actually, that was... it wasn't us. It was developed, or it originated from the Swiss company that we partner with to develop it. Maybe it's the founder's daughter. I don't know.
So, do you have any favorite features of Lucia phone that you like best?
Yeah. So it's a very, very simple phone. And it's designed for people with vision loss who can't handle a touchscreen. So all those people out there who don't want to learn gestures.
Right.
They don't want to learn VoiceOver, the screen reader for the iPhone.
Right.
Or TalkBack for an Android device.
Maybe they're a little shaky with their muscles and stuff.
They're shaky with their muscles, or it's just too difficult for them to learn the gestures, or they just don't want to.
Right.
They don't feel like they need a smartphone. They don't need to check ESPN and the baseball scores, or they don't need to go on Facebook. So all they want is a phone to talk and text. And that's really who it's designed for.
Well, I'm glad that it texts.
It does text.
So, talk about what kind of speech does it use?
So, it has a number of voices, and everything is vocalized for the user who's completely blind.
Okay.
So, I can actually show it to you or play it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
Okay. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to just scroll through the menu.
Settings. Messages. Groups. Contacts.
Okay, right there, that was the main menu.
Uh-huh.
And you can hear how it speaks, the menu items.
Mm-hmm.
I could change the voices if I want. So I selected a nice British rich voice.
Mm-hmm.
But if I wanted a female American voice, I could choose that. Or if I wanted an American voice, I could select that. And I have a couple of choices with respect to languages as well.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so if I was Spanish speaking, I could choose Spanish. Or French, for that matter.
So, how many different languages can it do?
Well, it's really unlimited, almost. But we're going to ship it in the United States to consumers with English, Spanish, several different dialects of Spanish, and French for French Canada.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but if there's someone, let's say, who speaks Vietnamese or Turkish, and they really want the phone to speak one of those languages, we can accommodate it. They could special order that voice and we could ship it with it.
And how was the voice decided upon? Do you know?
Well, those are kind of typical voices that we selected. The same types of voices that you would find on the iPhone mm-hmm. for people who are using VoiceOver. So they're kind of popular voices. But the idea is to have voices that are natural and pleasant to the ear.
Right.
So that someone who's blind and hears it all day doesn't get annoyed.
Yes, well, there is plenty of that with the cell phones already. Robert, how did you find that this, how'd you come to this decision that something like this was needed? And how needed has it been?
I'm sorry, what was the last question?
How needed has it been? Like, how popular has it been? Why did you decide that this was something that would do okay in the world of
many?
Okay,
so I'll answer the first question first. The reason we think it's needed is because we know that the large majority of people who are blind or low vision are seniors. More than two-thirds of people who are blind gain their blindness over the age of 65. And many are quite a bit older than that. And they get it through eye disease, like glaucoma or macular degeneration. So those seniors, at least many of them, cannot learn how to use a screen reader on the iPhone or an Android device. They simply can't handle it, or they're just not interested. So we knew that there was a need for a device that simplified things, mm-hmm. that was accessible, that allowed the blind user who was a senior to go out into the city and have a mobile device that they could use.
Right.
In terms of demand, we just launched the phone about 3 weeks ago. Having said that, sales are quite good, and there are quite a few government agencies that have been interested in making the phone available for free to their residents.
Ah.
Oh. So, for example, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs mm-hmm. makes it available for free to blind veterans. And actually, recently, we sold a couple of the devices to a medical center, a VA medical center in Minneapolis.
So
there's definitely a need. And by the way, in those medical centers, they're willing to give an iPhone for free to a blind vet. But the veterans are deciding that they want something simple. They don't want to learn how to use an iPhone. They're happy with Lucia.
So what kind of feedback have you gotten on it?
Well, consumers are just starting to get it now.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the feedback has been very good. We always get lots of recommendations as to what additional features people want. And, of course, as time passes, we'll develop the phone further, and it'll have new features or improvements. So that's really what we're focused on when we get consumer feedback.
How did you decide what should be on there to begin with?
Well, the main objective was to keep it very simple. So as an example, when we're talking about calling, we make the contacts completely accessible. So the user can input their contacts. The device will speak as they're entering contacts. And they can scroll through those contacts. And when they hear the name of the person they want to call, they just press the call button. So it's designed to be incredibly easy to use, almost dummy-proof. Similarly, if
I'm in.
Sorry?
I'm in. If it's dummy proof, I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. So if the consumer wanted to access their missed calls, they can do that as well. So basically every feature of the phone is accessible to someone who is blind. Do you want me to show you how you could access a missed call?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to go to my menu.
Call log.
It just said call log, which is where I access my missed call. I'm going to press that.
Missed calls.
That's what I want.
No new missed call.
Okay, so I have no new missed call, but I have an older missed call.
One missed call problem.
I'll press that. Now, I don't want to dial Robert. That's myself.
We'd have to have a separate discussion on that one.
Talking yeah. But let's say I want the details of when Robert called the phone.
Show details. On the 9th of May, 2019, at 5:23 p.m.
Okay. So you heard how I would access my missed calls.
Yeah, and I think it gives a little bit better detail as far as that goes, you know, more clear, just kind of straightforward.
Yes, I would say it's very easy to use.
Is there anything that this phone does that a smartphone doesn't do?
Well, there really isn't. I wouldn't say there's anything that it does. I think you interact with it differently. So, whereas with a smartphone, you're interacting with a touchscreen and with gestures, here you're pressing buttons. So it's a tactile experience as opposed to a gesture experience. But in terms of the actual features, there really isn't. I mean, an iPhone or an Android phone could do just about anything these days.
Well, yes, there is that.
Right, right. But there are, you know, lots of settings that someone can adjust here. There is flexibility. There is a robust alarm system. So that, for example, if the user wants to create an alarm to remind them to take medication at 9 a.m. every morning, they can do that. And the alarm wouldn't simply ring. It would say, remember to take your Lipitor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So there you have something interesting, because that's really hard to get the smartphones to do that. The alarms go off, but you don't always know unless you've remembered why you set them.
Right.
Can you show us what it's like to set an alarm?
Well, let's see.
Call log. Contacts. Groups. Messages. Settings. Alarm.
So that's my alarm.
New alarm.
Okay, that's what we want.
Interval.
So it's asking me what time of the day it wants to set the alarm for. Let's say it's 7.
Hour is 19. Enter minute.
Okay, so I would enter the minute. Let's just say it's 25, so I don't have to scroll a lot.
Okay.
Minute is 25. Please enter format. AM.
Okay, so I have to choose whether it's 7:25 AM or 7:25 p.m. Let's say it's a.m.
New alarm. Alarm will ring in 11 hours and 59 minutes. Do you want to edit it?
Let's say, yep.
Time is 7:25 a.m. Date is Friday the 14th of June, 2019.
Okay, so here's where I would set the date. Let's just say I wanted to do it today. Is today the 14th, by the way? I'm kind of lost.
It's Thursday.
The 13th.
The 13th.
Oh, okay. So I guess it's suggesting that it's the 14th because 7:25 is not going to be today.
Right.
7:25 a.m. So that's why it's saying it's the 14th. See, it's pretty smart for a dumb phone.
It's a year.
So I can even select the year. So let's say I wanted to put it in birthdays, and I wanted a reminder in 2020, I could do that.
Year is 2019. Enter month.
Let's six. Just say it's June.
Month is 6. Enter day. 14.
Okay, so it's asking me if I want to adjust the day. Let's just assume it's the 14th.
Okay.
Alarm date has been set. Date is Friday, the 14th of June, 2019.
Okay, so that's an example of how you would set a simple alarm. Now it's going to wake me up tomorrow morning at 7:25.
So how do you make it say happy birthday to whomever or whatever?
Okay, so...
I'll turn these away. End date is never... Repetition is not.
So I could repeat if you just heard that, but let's not do that now.
Reminder text is empty.
Okay, so this is the reminder text. So this is what I would use.
Enter reminder text.
To enter some text. So this is where I use that keypad. You know, it's the old system where 2 is ABC.
Yes.
3 is DES.
Yep.
So a long message will take me a fair amount of time to compose. But let's just say I wanted the message to be yes, to keep it simple.
Y. E.
Okay, I made a mistake there. It was supposed to be S. So let's delete the R.
I'll delete it.
There we go. That says yes. And to make sure it says yes, I could press a repeat button so it'll speak what I just typed.
Yes.
There we go. I'm going to select it.
Are you sure you want to save alarm reminder text?
Yes.
Alarm reminder has been saved. Reminder text is yes.
Okay. So that's how you would do it. So at 7:45, actually, I think it was 7:25 in the morning, tomorrow, I'm going to get an alarm which rings, and it's going to say yes.
Well, yeah. Then. Excellent. Yeah, I used to be very quick at entering text that way, so I'd be old hat.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while, but some people haven't lost the skill.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So you should buy Lucia.
And I can still text.
That's right.
Robert, it occurs to me that a couple things. First of all, you know, there are, I do believe, plenty of people with physical disabilities that could use something like this. But they may be high partials or whatever, and they may not need the voice. Can you turn off the voice?
Yes, you can. You could turn it off quite easily. There's a button on the side of the phone that you press and hold for about 3 seconds, and it'll turn the speech on or off. And in fact, the phone is not only designed for people who are blind. Obviously, the big buttons help people with dexterity issues, but there are also quite a few seniors who are hard of hearing. And one of the features that the phone has is an amplification button. So if you're in a phone call and you can't hear that well, you want it to get quite a bit louder, you could press that button and the sound, the audio will increase quite a bit.
Ah.
So for those people, obviously, they don't need to hear the text-to-speech.
Right.
They don't need that voice help, so they could turn it off.
And can you enlarge the screen?
Actually, it's already quite large, so you can't really make it any larger. And in fact, if a word is really long, so if someone's last name was Hasmasarji or yeah, something like that, it would scroll across the screen because it couldn't fit entirely on the screen given its length. So it's really quite large.
So it sounds like government places are doing their best to assist, to buy, you know, people that need these types of phones if they don't want to or can't handle a smartphone, i.e. cell phone or an Android. But what about the general consumer that might have to or want to buy it outright? Is there a payment plan for them?
There's not a payment plan. It costs $299, and it can be purchased from our website. But there isn't like an installment plan. And right now, it's not offered by any wireless providers. So you have to get it directly from us. Interestingly, the state of Minnesota is offering it to consumers with disabilities for free.
Oh, really?
So someone with a certain type of disability can call the state program mm-hmm. and ask for the phone. It's actually being offered by the Department of Human Services, and the program is called the Telecommunications Equipment Distribution Program.
Ah, yes, I'm familiar with them.
Okay. And anyone with hearing loss, speech loss, or a physical disability can qualify for the program and get the free device. So let's say you're blind, mm-hmm. but you have absolutely no speech loss or a mobility disability, then you can't get the phone. But if you have a vision disability in combination with one of those other disabilities, then you can get it.
I presume
there is an income qualification element as well. So if you have a family of one person and you make less than about $52,000 a year, you qualify for the program, and that income amount changes based on the family size. So if you've got four people in your family and you make less than about $100,000, then you qualify for the program. But if you make more than that, you do not, even if you have a disability.
I presume that this is proven via doctor's note, or as far as that you have a disability, you need to prove that?
Well, that's a good question, actually. I'm not really sure.
Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a requirement that it was certified by a professional. I'm looking at it right now on the website. It does say that there is required verification and that documentation is required showing a disability type.
Are there any ideas or thoughts on perhaps getting it to work with Braille in the future?
So that's a good question. So most of the people that will use this phone will be blinded later in life, and those are not the Braille users.
Although they do learn it. Some do learn it.
Some do, but as it is, about 10% of people who are blind know Braille. Mm-hmm. And the large majority of those are people that became blind either at birth or reasonably young. The person who becomes blind at 80 will be unlikely to learn Braille.
Well, so, that part I would agree, except that I'm a Braille teacher, and I would say that I have seen a lot of 50-year-olds walk through my door, and they do try to learn it. So
yeah, there are some. It's just a question of priorities from our point of view.
Yeah.
Right. We have a fair bit of development to do over time. We want to improve the phone, just like Apple and Samsung improve their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to prioritize.
So does it have Bluetooth that could work with a person's hearing aid?
Ask again, Charlene.
Does it have Bluetooth that would work with a person with a hearing aid?
So at the moment, it doesn't have Bluetooth. You can use earphones or earbuds. There's a 3.5 millimeter jack. But in the next version, there will be Bluetooth.
So what kind of things are you hoping to see in the future with development of Lucia?
Well, there's a couple of items. There's one functionality that's actually really cool, which is tough to say in a very simple phone, but it is actually pretty neat. And that is, we're going to offer personalized audio.
Oh, cool.
So a person's going to be able to take a hearing test.
Uh-huh.
And the audio on the phone on Lucia will be adjusted based on the results of the hearing test.
Ah.
So that'll significantly improve the audio or listening experience for people who are hard of hearing. The next feature that we'll be working on is speech to text or speech commands.
Excellent.
Voice
yes.
commands.
I could see a lot of people wanting to do that.
Right. So when people text, mm-hmm. instead of having to use that keypad and learning that ABC is on number two.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
just
good
be
brain
able to
power
speak.
There. That's good brain power, though.
Yeah, it's good exercise. So those are two features. Bluetooth is another one. Also, there's been some recommendations that have a radio. So in the next version will probably have a radio.
Be careful.
So they can listen to your radio station.
Be careful. You're sneaking into smartphone territory.
I know. It's a balance.
It's an interesting catch 22, isn't it?
People do like radio, though. That's why they're listening to
right.
us right now.
Yeah, that's right. So is
right.
there...
Right, so...
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Are you currently able to download any apps, or will you in the future, do you think, be able to download apps?
No, because at least for now, there's no data, and we do want to keep it simple.
Yes.
So okay. there's always a risk that if we add too much functionality, it'll complicate the phone.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose of the phone is to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
true. We're not going to take users away from the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of additional applications or functionality, the one other functionality that we might add is the ability to take notes. So someone will be able to record their shopping list or something like that.
Yeah, that is a good one, actually. Grocery list, memo type
exactly.
things, reminders.
Exactly. There's been some suggestions for that.
So...
And since people who are blind obviously have issues with writing and making lists that way... A notes recorder is very useful.
So is there any thought of, the idea of making it, obviously you have your constrictions or restrictions of, financial and disability, but I could possibly see people who just are older and don't want to deal with a smartphone but don't have a huge disability, really. Is there any thoughts about just making it available to them eventually?
Yeah, seniors are definitely an audience. It does have the big buttons, which most seniors like. It has the big text, which is good for people who are struggling a little bit with vision, even if they're not blind. Almost, I won't say all, but a significant majority of seniors have age-related hearing loss, and the amplification helps. Also, there's an SOS button on the back of the phone, a physical SOS button.
So if you've fallen or gotten hurt or...
Yeah, you could press the button, you hold it for about 3 seconds, and then it cycles through up to 5 numbers. And you designate what those numbers are.
I suppose kind of like
that... And also
that,
it's... Sorry?
Kind of like that equivalent of ice that they were promoting years ago.
Not familiar with that, unfortunately.
You put the word ice in front of anybody who would be your emergency contact. So if you needed to call them or get a hold of them.
I see.
Or if you were unconscious and somebody else found your phone and needed to know who to call besides 911, that would be in there.
Exactly. So this is a little bit similar in that if there was an emergency, you would just press that button
mm-hmm.
for about 3 seconds and it would cycle through those 5 contacts. If the first person didn't pick up, it would automatically go to the second person.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually smart enough to know if it goes to the first person's voicemail. It knows it's not a real person and will go to the second person.
So it would automatically call? You wouldn't have to push anything else?
You would not need to push anything else.
Are there other products that Raz Mobility is currently working on?
Yes, there are actually. And most of them are much more sophisticated than Lucia. Although I've learned that the most sophisticated products aren't necessarily the most useful. But an example, a product that we're working on is called Voice It.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really, really cool. And it translates unintelligible speech into intelligible speech. So let's say someone had a stroke or a child has autism and they can't pronounce words very well. You could speak into the smartphone. The smartphone will understand you, even if you and I couldn't. And it will translate that into standard speech.
How does it do that?
I'm not the engineer. I'm a lawyer.
Oh, you protect against any legal things. That's not what she meant to say.
Yeah, this is way above my pay grade.
Huh, so there must be some kind of interesting algorithm that it does.
Yes.
Huh.
It uses artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Actually, Google's working on something very similar for their smart speakers. So for Google Home and the Google Mini.
Right.
For those who are familiar with those.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, if you have non-standard speech, they won't be able to understand you. Neither would Alexa. But what Google's working on is to give those speakers the ability to understand non-standard speech.
Interesting. So how close are you to having the Voice It? Is that what it's called?
Yes. Probably by the end of the year. Oh. Maybe first quarter of 2020.
This is quite a thing and actually might be a kind of a race, huh, between you and Google. Because sometimes the first person out is the first person to get a lot of the recognition of doing that.
Right, so this is a little different in the sense that Google's really focused on the smart speakers.
Okay.
And Voice It is focused on helping people with in-person communication.
I see.
So if we're face-to-face, obviously a smart speaker is of no use.
That's right.
So if I go to Starbucks and I want to order a cafe latte, but I have a stroke and you can't understand me, I could take out VoiceIt on my phone and communicate what I want. But Google smart speakers won't help.
Wow.
Oh, two different.
Yeah.
So right now, if you have a speech disability and you want to communicate in person, you basically have to tap images of what you want to communicate. So if you want a banana, you would tap images that communicated that you wanted a banana. Or you type, I want a banana, and it'll speak it for you. But VoiceIt will allow people to use their own voice.
So I wonder, I could see this being interesting with Lou Gehrig disease as they slowly lose the ability to speak. I'm wondering how bad can the speech be?
Well, that's a good question. So if someone can only say two sounds, for example, let's say they can only say ooh and ah, then obviously they're limited to two words, right? Because the program can't guess what you want to say.
Right.
But if you can speak and enunciate, let's say, 100 different words, then you could say 100 words. So it really depends on the person.
This will be interesting. I feel another show coming on. Tell us.
It is going to be actually interesting. Companies like Microsoft and Amazon are investing in this solution, in VoiceIt. So it'll hopefully be a real game changer.
I will be fascinated to know the accuracy of what the output is as opposed to what the person's saying.
Right. So if you remember when speech to text and speech recognition generally was initially introduced, you know, maybe it had 80% accuracy level. Now we're probably at 95 plus. So it'll probably be the same for this type of solution, for VoiceIt. It'll improve as time goes. Also, because it has artificial intelligence, it'll get better at recognizing the individual as they use the solution.
What other devices are you working on?
Well, another example is a product called Sesame. It's also a very high-tech type of solution. It has some sex appeal, if you wish. It basically allows people with mobility disabilities to use a smartphone or tablet. So it uses the front-facing camera. It's tracking your head movements. And the user can control all aspects of the smartphone with their head. Essentially, a mouse appears on the screen, and you control that mouse with your head movement. So all you need is your smartphone and your head movements, and you get full access to the device.
Wow.
So this would be something that would be very useful for someone that had ALS. And still had movement of their head.
Right.
Or someone who was a quadriplegic or MS.
Yes, and we know people like that.
Wow, I'm just blown away. I've known a handful of people that could really have benefited from that.
And how close are you with this particular product?
It's actually on the market now. And the state of Minnesota has it in their program, the equipment distribution program. So they've bought it for a number of residents with disabilities already.
And tell us what it's called again?
Sesame.
Sesame, like open sesame.
Exactly.
Right.
That's how you turn it on.
Huh?
You say open sesame.
And it's just the equivalent of managing pretty much a cell phone.
Yes, you could use it with a cell phone or a tablet.
Wow.
The only limitation is that it only works with Android.
Oh.
Well, then.
Yeah. iPhone can't support it.
Really? Huh. That must mean you didn't develop the apps their way.
You no, did it, it wasn't your a way. Question of, it wasn't a question of how it was developed. Apple just doesn't have the APIs necessary to support the development.
Really? Oh. Okay.
Yeah, while Google does.
Excellent. So what is something like that or VoiceIt cost?
Well, as I mentioned, for residents of Minnesota, you could actually get Sesame for free. But if you choose to pay for it, it would cost about $1,600. And that would include the software and the smartphone. For VoiceIt, it's not on the market yet, so I'm not sure what the pricing
gotcha.
Will be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is really exciting, I think, for, you know, other disabilities that have not had that freedom before. How do you see that? I mean, that's a big game changer.
Both solutions are big game changers, in particular VoiceIt. There's really never been a solution like VoiceIt before, so it will really change how people with speech disabilities communicate.
Presumably you're doing some demo of the products, like people are maybe being used to try it out and see how well it works.
It's actually being demoed all around the world. There are betas in multiple countries. There were two state programs that we worked with about a year ago to test it. Those were the states of Rhode Island and New Mexico. So it is being constantly tested at this stage and refined and improved.
How can people find out more about these products?
They could go to our website, razmobility.com.
R-A-Z.
And all of those solutions are there.
All right. razmobility.com.
Exactly.
Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with in regards to this?
I don't think so. The one thing I want to emphasize with Lucia is that every functionality in the phone is accessible for people with vision loss. And that it's also very good for people with hearing loss because of the amplification. And that's really about it. All the information's on our website.
Thank you, Robert. We really appreciate your time tonight.
It's my pleasure. Have a great night.
I think you're going to be doing some really heavy competitiveness with a lot of different big players out there. So good luck with the growth of the company.
Thank you so much.
The views expressed on Disability and Progress does not reflect the views of KFAI or its board of directors. If you want to be on the email list, send Sam an email at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. That's disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. This is Aaron Westendorp on behalf of Sam Jasmine. This was a repeat from 2019 with CEO of RAS Mobility, Robert Felger. Thanks for listening. Take care.
KPI.org.